Brett Hollander on WBAL.
News Radio 1090.
And WBAL.com.
Rolling along here on WBAL News Radio 1090 with a special guest right now. He is the expert for Ultimate Fighting in the area. No question about that. Our friend John Rallo is with us. John, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
It's great to talk to you. I know you have a big event coming up. I want to get into that coming up. But a lot of interesting UFC news in recent days and weeks here. And let's start, I think, with the big thing that seems to come up, and that is some of the key players, John, linked to PED use. I don't think anyone's surprised in professional sports when that happens. But not at all. But how big of a deal is this for the sport, you think?
I mean, I personally, like, if anybody knows me, they know my
right
opinion on all this stuff. But I don't know. I mean, personally, the UFC, unlike the NFL and Major League Baseball, when they decide to act, they act swiftly. There's not all this red tape, and obviously they don't have the players' union to haggle with at this point. So, you know, apparently they're saying that the new penalties could be from a 2 to 4 year suspension, you know, for first-time offenders. Mm. So, you know, we'll wait and see if that really does come down. Anderson Silva is the last guy that had tested positive, and everybody was up in arms because it was Anderson, and he had never failed before. Personally, I don't believe that the guy was using in the past. I think that he had such a devastating injury. If you guys were familiar, I mean, his leg
shin
snapped in half.
Yeah.
You know, he wound up putting a rod in it and screws and everything. He's a 40-year-old athlete, and I believe that he probably took, you know, a little extra to try and make it back. And, you know, he did come back and win, but now he has a blemish on it, and I believe that fight's been ruled a no contest because he tested positive for, you know, drostanolone, which is an anabolic steroid, and Nick tested positive for weed, which is nothing new for Nick. He's probably like the fourth or fifth time he's failed for weed. He doesn't make any bones about it. He's going to smoke, and nobody can tell him not to.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're going to go ahead and compete, you're going to have to play by the rules. So
have fun with that one. Yeah, I think the majority of guys at this point, you know, they're starting to get to the point now where even the Olympic, the IOC and their testing standards, they've raised them like 300%. So that if you were caught, I mean, people are understanding that marijuana is not a performance-enhancing drug. So, you know, if these guys are doing this in their recreational time, people are starting to understand that it's more their business. And they raised the limit enough that I believe if unless you smoke a week before the event, then you won't be caught. So now the UFC, I don't know if the athletic commission where they fought, and I believe they were in Nevada, has raised theirs or not. And if they did, then shame on Nick for not being able to stay away for a week, at least, you know, to be able to pass the test.
The sport itself has a superstar.
Yeah.
It's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I mean, that arm bar, I mean, mother of pearl. We got technology. You could break down film and video and all that. 14 seconds,
yeah.
And that fight is done. I mean, we're talking the next Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, and like her, I mean, I think she's had 11 title defenses.
Yep.
She's been in the ring like a total of 25 minutes.
Yep.
You know, Ronda is, I'm not even a big fan of her personally, but like she's amazing. She's an amazing athlete. Her arm bars are the best in the sport, and I would say bar none, male or female. I'm not just saying as a woman fighter, her transitions and her setups and her ability to roll with you know, a person trying to escape and still maintain control of a limb, it's really second to none. You know, and if you know a little bit about her, her mom is the first American to ever win a world championship in judo, male or female.
Oh.
You know, her mother had a severe back injury, and it caused her to change her grappling style to where judo is very stand-up oriented, and the match, the goal is really to pin, like to win by ippon if you get a perfect throw. But when it hits the floor, there's submissions involved. And Rhonda's mom became an armbar expert to make up for the back problems that she had later in her career. And she raised her baby girl, you know, to be an arm lock wizard. And as you can see, I mean, Rhonda was a two-time Olympian. She competed in the Olympics as a teenager. You know, and then she's parlayed that into a successful MMA career. She's really an amazing athlete. And even in that 14 seconds, you know, Kat Singano runs at her, which was a mistake. She shouldn't, you don't run into the clinch of a world-class judoka.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets caught. Kat actually initiated the takedown. And if you see what you're looking at, I mean, from her head, Rhonda shifts her hips, like recovers in the throw, winds up on top, immediately takes her back. Kat left her arm behind, and you know, Rhonda, being the expert that she is, she took it. And you know, here she is, she's fighting all the number one contenders, and these girls are tough. I mean, you know, to give Kat some relevance, Miesha Tate is the only person to go out of the first round with Rhonda. And Kat beat Miesha to really garner this title shot. Then she got injured, had to win another one, and then got the title shot. But Kat's not a slouch, and Rhonda made her just look, you know, just, you know, levels beneath her. You know, Rhonda's really something special.
You know what's kind of interesting, John, and you may or may not agree with this, when it comes to fame and popularity and interest in the macho world of sports as a whole, it seems like even the most macho people and fans out of UFC are far more accepting into the female fighting that's going on in UFC with Ronda Rousey right now than it's taken for people to get into women's basketball or something like that.
Yeah,
is that true?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 200%. And I can tell you on a personal level, you know, running our show here that we have, Shogun, I've had women on twice. And every time, but first of all, the second women's fight I had might have been one of the best fights we've had in the ring. And to this day, are women on this card? You know what I mean? I wish there were more women in this area so I could always have women on the card, because people really have an interest to see these girls fight. And I think the difference in basketball is that, you know, the men play, I don't even know that they play basketball anymore. It's really...
It's a one-on-one game above the rim.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just superior athletes doing crazy things out there. And the women play old-fashioned, you know,
basketball.
They play fundamentally sound basketball. And I think people aren't interested in that anymore. Now, the women in mixed martial arts, they're coming out, and they really are technically sound. These girls are skilled. They're coming out and throwing down. You know, and not a knock on women, but most women don't hit hard enough to knock you unconscious. So when these women hit each other, they're not going out, and they're tough as nails, and you wind up having these crazy, really knockdown, drag out fights, unless it's Rhonda in there ending a thing in 14 seconds. And it's really exciting for the fans. So, you know, definitely, I agree with you. People are very, you know, very interested in women's mixed martial arts, and Rhonda's really the reason why.
Is Rhonda going to, you know, be the queen of the title? Is there someone ready to knock her off her block?
There are a few people potentially. There's a Brazilian girl, Betch Cojera, that's trying to get a title shot. I'm not sure if she's the one. There's an Olympic wrestler, Sarah McMahon. She was a silver medalist in the Olympics. I think she would have the ability to, but I think she's too early in her career. Like, Rhonda's evolved to where she's becoming a more complete, you know, martial artist. Before, she was just a judo player out there using her arm locks. Now she's striking. Now she's got her Muay Thai. She has knees. She has a clinch game. So, you know, Rhonda's game's getting more well-rounded, and Sarah needs to get her game more well-rounded before she'd be able to take on Rhonda. There's a girl named Holly Holm who just fought on this last card.
Hmm.
She was a world champion boxer and kickboxer. You know, she won her fight on the card, her debut in the UFC against a real tough opponent. Again, Holly has a piece of the puzzle, but she still needs to, I think, catch up on the ground before she's ready for Rhonda. And the girl that everybody wants to see her fight is Christiana Giustina. Her name is Cyborg.
Yeah.
They call her.
Oh.
She is in Invicta, which is a total women's organization, but she weighs 145. Rhonda weighs 135. So Rhonda's telling her, if you want to fight, you got to come to 135. Now they're saying that she's going to try to cut that weight and make it to 35. And if she does, that'll be awesome, because this is a girl who's ready now. I'd flip a coin. If the fight stays on the teeth, Cyborg will win. If the fight goes to the ground, obviously you give Rhonda the edge because of her finishing, but Cyborg would be the best jiu-jitsu player that she's fought yet. And jiu-jitsu is a little bit different than judo in the essence that Rhonda's finishes are awesome, but her guard and her, you know, her setups, they're a little bit different. And she's had her back taken in several fights, and if a girl as skilled as Cyborg gets on her back, then it could be problems. You know, the other thing is Cyborg is physically her equal. So Rhonda really ragdolls a lot of these girls because she's such an explosive athlete, and she won't be able to do that to Cyborg. Like, in my perfect world, they should just meet in the middle at 140, do a catchweight super fight, and then everybody can go back to defending their belts after that fight's over.
Here's a big question I got for you, though. You said you're not a personal fan of hers. Like, what is it that she does? Give us the dirt on it. Come on, dude.
She's nuts. She's not the. I mean, and honestly, guys, you know, any artist that's really like, they're all eccentric people.
Sure, sure.
You know, when she did the Ultimate Fighter show with Misha Tate, you know, she came off just like such a douche. I mean, she was ignorant all the time, just, you know, talking smack all the time, like physically bumping into Misha when they were around each other. I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of mind games because they were going to fight after the show.
Sure.
But asking a couple people in the know, I was like, look, I know on that show they can edit you to look however they want you to look, because they film you 24 hours a day, you know, for 6 weeks, and then you see 6 hours of that, you know what I mean,
sure.
on TV. And the guy told me, nah, man, that's really her. That's how she is. So she's, you know, she's an intense competitor, and if she don't like you, man, she really makes no bones about letting you know about it.
Last question. We're talking to John Rolla before we ask you to promote what's coming up, and I would love to get you in studio, John, to talk about the next Shogun Fights event in April. But John Jones right now, I know, he went to rehab. He did win in January, and he's coming up, though, on the next big event, 187, on May 23rd, where he has an interesting match. Where is he right now, personally and professionally?
Well, I mean, I think he's fine. Professionally, I mean, he's at the top of his game. You know, he's undefeated. He's a young guy. He's still developing his skills. Like, he's still going to improve. You know, I don't think you've seen the best of him yet. Personally, I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, and I mean, if you have time, I'll kind of explain my position on this as well. He tested positive for cocaine. That wasn't even supposed to be released. That was on out of season, they call it, testing, which they have in the NFL and Major League Baseball as well. He wasn't even penalized for it. So I had a problem with them putting that out in public. You know, this is a 20-some-year-old guy. He's a champion of the world. He won a fight. If he's out partying with his boys, and I'm not condoning or condemning him. It's his business what he does on his private time. And he did not fail for cocaine during the fight. You know, he passed several tests leading up to the fight. That test that he took was like a month before the fight when they said he failed. And I personally think it's an invasion of his privacy for them to put that on the street. So, you know, that aside, he's a fantastic fighter. He's a great athlete. I'm friendly with Art, you know, his brother from when he was here as a player.
Oh yeah.
I'm friends with the guy he's getting ready to fight, Anthony Johnson. And, you know, if this fight goes past three, I think John Jones is going to retain his belt. If it's finished inside of three, Anthony really throws hammers. He's a very skilled wrestler. He destroyed Phil Davis here, who was the two-time NCAA champion. He couldn't take him down. Andre Gustafson, who's given John his toughest fight to date, Anthony just walked through and knocked him out in the first round. So this is a really, really exciting fight. And for people who think, oh, man, who's going to beat John, this guy has the best chance of anybody that's fought John yet at actually, you know, upsetting him and winning that to a 205-pound belt.
Great analysis from John Rollo of Shogun Fights. John, always enjoy it. Tell us about what's coming up in April and then when people can get involved.
Yes, sir. Well, tickets are already available. You know, it's Shogun Fights number 12 at the Royal Farms Arena, April 18th, which is a Saturday night. It's going to be 12 fights on the card. We're giving away, well, we're not giving it away. We're having our first title fight. So it's the first time we're having a belt on the line. Micah Terrell, who's a guy, lives in Bowie, Crofton area. He's won his last like five in a row there at Shogun. He's getting ready to fight Cole Presley. Cole fights out of a gym in Frederick called Clinch Academy. Both of these guys are guys that I believe you have a chance of seeing at the next level. You know, they're two of the top guys in this area. They're fighting for the welterweight belt, and I'm very excited to see it. Like, Cole is a guy who takes tons of punishment. He's got great jiu-jitsu. His last fight, he one punch knocked out a guy. Mike is a very dynamic striker with good jiu-jitsu, so very even matchup, you know, and two fan favorites, two guys that the fans like to watch. So I hope people, you know, you can go to shogunfights.com to get information on the fight card and to get links for the tickets, or obviously you can go to the arena website or Ticketmaster.
Well, we'd love to get you in studio before that, John. We really appreciate it. Great insight.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thank you.